This podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier. The three-pack is back. The three-pack is a great value, and the top three uses for the air purifier are to eliminate odors, allergens, and air pollutants. Get the three-pack today at EdenPureDeals.com and put in code word Howie3.
The numbers are in. Listeners are voting often and early for Grace Curley, just like they did for her adopted grandfather. From year one to number one.
Make it so, number one.
The Millennial with the Mic is the most listened to midday show in Boston. You can read Grace's work in the Boston Herald, the Spectator, and the Daily Mail. Now, live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Get ready, pal.
It's Boston's number one midday show, The Grace Curley Show.
Especially Grace. Grace, stand up.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to The Grace Curley Show. It is Wednesday already. Can you believe it? We're halfway through the week. It is gorgeous out, and we are thrilled to be here with you as always. Thank you so much for tuning in today. And you are always welcome to join the show as well. It's 844-500-4242. I think it's obvious what's going to lead the show today. I don't think I need to tell anybody out there that when you get the amount of bombshells that we got yesterday during the J6, to those of you who aren't as tuned in with these historic hearings, that's January 6th. The January 6th committee hearings took the world by storm. And by the world, I mean a small faction of people on Twitter, which is the world to me. So it took the world by storm, and for good reason. These were insanely important allegations by former White House aide Cassidy Hutchinson. This was a big, big deal. And if it seemed too good to be true for Democrats, some of these things that she was saying, you know, sometimes when Democrats come out with an outlandish claim, it's hard not to think to yourself, this could be too good to be true. Similar to, well, let's just go through a list here of some things that were too good to be true for Democrats. The dirty dossier being number one. You find out about these pee showers and these prostitutes, and you think, this sounds like a movie. This sounds like House of Cards. This sounds a little bit too good to be true. Another thing, the suckers and losers piece that The Atlantic is still going to fill us in on. They keep, remember they had said, oh, and then we'll reveal sources later, or, you know, we'll follow up on this or something. Never really went anywhere. That was another one, too good to be true. Like the 7 hours of missing call logs during the Trump, during January 6th, that ended up being too good to be true for the Democrats. Well, this time is no different. So let's walk through what we had yesterday. I will need a safe space, Jared, while I walk through this.
You don't want to drive through it? You want to walk through it?
I want to walk through it. So Cassidy,
in my safe space.
Cassidy Hutchinson. And let me just start by saying, as I've said a bazillion times before, that's right, a bazillion times before, I fully acknowledge that what happened on January 6th was bad. It was not a good day for America. And I think almost all sane conservatives have said that, have gone on record and said, not a good day. But this desire by liberals and by these rhinos like Liz Cheney to make it into something that it wasn't is very telling about how desperate they have become. And it's also very telling that all of these days later, how many days have passed since January 6th? Over 500. That Trump is still the number one thing on their minds. And I don't want to throw this out and make accusations here, because that's making unfounded accusations. That's the job of Democrats. But it does feel a little bit to me, you know what it feels like, Jared? It's a P word. It feels a little bit like privilege that 500 days later, you could all be sitting around telling fake stories about Donald Trump on January 6th. Most people, most moms trying to put food on the table, most dads staring at the ceiling fan, don't have time to listen to Liz Cheney wax eloquently about January 6th. They just don't have time. They don't have the time or the inclination, and they don't have the money. They don't have the interest to waste precious time worried about whether or not Trump threw ketchup at the wall. And we need to break down each of these accusations. So Cassidy Hutchinson, she's a former Meadows aide, Mark Meadows, and that was one of hers. Let's play some of these, okay? And I was, my full plan yesterday was not to play any of it, which we didn't during the show. And today I wasn't going to play any of it, really. But it was too funny that all of these things she said were debunked not hours later, minutes later. Minutes. I mean, I would never suggest that anyone lie under oath in any circumstance. But if one were to lie under oath, don't you want to make it a little bit harder for people to call you out on it? Don't you want to make it a little bit trickier for people to not debunk? You want the lie to be able to stand the test of debunking for at least 60 minutes, right, Jared?
Yeah, it has to stand up to some scrutiny. At that point, if it doesn't, it's basically fan fiction.
Yeah, and you want it to get, I don't want to give them unreasonable limits on how long their lies have to last, okay? Because it's their business, they're the experts at this, and far be it from me to try to tell them what to do. But I would say maybe try to get it past midnight, so that way the people who are seeing these outlandish claims go to bed, not with sugar plums in their head, but with Trump throwing ketchup at the wall in their heads, Trump lunging at Secret Service agents in their heads. You want them to have that as they fall asleep. And then when they wake up the next day and it's debunked, they can move on because there's other things in the news, you know, that the cost of pizza is going up or something else takes their mind off of it.
Yeah, it has to last at least long enough that bloodhound journalists like Jake Tapper can't debunk it.
Yeah, exactly. And you want the next day they wake up, they go to the Daily Mail, they go, oh, Nancy Pelosi and her husband are meeting the Pope. The devout Catholic Nancy Pelosi, who's pro-abortion, is meeting the Pope. Wonderful. And then that takes their mind off of it. And so the debunking doesn't have an effect. But these things were debunked very quickly. So this is Cassidy Hutchinson. I want to play the first secondhand story. That's another crucial part of this. Do we have that song, Jared? Heard it from a friend who... Heard it from a friend who... Everyone, so this is just hearsay. It's people telling stories about what other people told them. And if that... Not that this is a court of law by any means, but it really amps up the idea that this is a kangaroo court. That people are essentially coming in and gossiping about their old ex-coworkers.
Heard it from a friend who... Heard it from a friend who...
Heard it from another, you've been throwing ketchup at the wall. Okay, let's play. This is Cassidy Hutchinson, and she's telling a secondhand story about the ketchup. Cut three, please.
I first noticed there was ketchup dripping down the wall, and there's a shattered porcelain plate on the floor. The valet had articulated that the president was extremely angry at the Attorney General's AP interview and had thrown his lunch against the wall.
Okay, now, while I'm sure it was traumatic to see ketchup against the wall, do we need to have the voice of someone who's about to break down in tears? Am I being insensitive?
Absolutely not. And a porcelain plate.
You know where this woman would never survive? The Howie Carr Radio Network. The kitchen at the Howie Carr Radio Network. If Howie's cooking something up, if she opened up our microwave, she'd break down. All right, so that's the first
one.
We
had the Kowloon in yesterday. Can you imagine how she'd do with duck sauce?
I don't want to imagine, Jared.
On the table?
I don't want to imagine. Now, that's been debunked. But before we even get to that, we should play the other thing that's been debunked. This is the one that got the most attention, I think, because it was the most absurd. It was the most absurd. Like, you didn't need to do any investigation into this after you heard this claim. Anyone who's ever seen the Beast, the car the president drives in, would immediately go, huh? Really? Cut four.
Once the president had gotten into the vehicle with Bobby, he thought that they were going up to the Capitol. And when Bobby had relayed to him, we're not, we don't have the assets to do it, it's not secure, we're going back to the West Wing. The president had very strong, a very angry response to that. Tony described him as being irate. The president said something to the effect of, I'm the effing president, take me up to the Capitol now. To which Bobby responded, sir, we have to go back to the West Wing. The president reached up towards the front of the vehicle to grab at the steering wheel. Mr. Engel grabbed his arm, said, sir, you need to take your hand off the steering wheel. We're going back to the West Wing. We're not going to the Capitol. Mr. Trump then used his free hand to lunge towards Bobby Engel. And when Mr. Renato had recounted this story to me, he had motioned towards his clavicles.
Did you watch a Harrison Ford movie and like
get That's the truth.
Get it confused with real life? I mean, this is just insane. And so immediately after, the Secret Service agent, Bobby Engel, denies this. And this is from Peter Alexander. His tweet got the most play here. He said, a source close to the Secret Service tells me both Bobby Engel, the lead agent, and the presidential limousine SUV driver are prepared to testify under oath that neither man was assaulted and that Mr. Trump never lunged for the steering wheel. So case closed.
That's the truth.
So they spent all this time and money on graphics and on showing us the layout of the White House, but they don't know that in most of these cars, Trump is not like riding shotgun. And even if he was riding shotgun, they've denied that he lunged towards a steering wheel or towards a Secret Service agent. Even if it was a good lie, it's not. It's an easily debunked lie. And by the way, this was only one of several lies this woman told. She also told a story about how she wrote a note and she was on record saying, oh, I wrote this note. And the guy who wrote the note came out and said, no, I wrote the note. I think his name's Eric Hirschman. He's a Trump White House lawyer. He said, no, I wrote the note. And several other people corroborated that he wrote the note. Now a theme that I keep seeing when she claimed that she wrote the note and then this man counteracts that and says, no. Or contradicts that and says, I wrote the note. Then the committee comes out and says something along the lines of, we know they have different recollections, but the point is that if you're lying under oath about one thing, you know what we call that? We've talked about this before. Falsus in uno, falsus in omnibus. If you're lying about one thing, why would we ever believe you about everything else? It's like the Nietzsche quote. Not that you lied to me, but that I no longer believe you has shaken me. Not that anyone lying to us at this point in D.C. is going to shake us. But everything else you say gets thrown out the window. If you have no issue lying about a story you heard or about writing a note, guess what? You are no longer a credible witness. And again, don't call me up and tell me it's not a court of law. I know. I'm watching this. I understand this is like a banana republic. This is a show trial. This is insane. And honestly, it's disgusting. This is even being put on.
But if Steve Bannon can be raided in contempt of Congress, can't she be held in perjury of Congress? Shouldn't that be a penalty?
Yeah. If you needed any more proof that this is a complete sham of a mockery of a sham of a mockery of a sham, it would be this. It's that this woman's up there lying and lying and lying, and she is heralded as this huge hero for the left for about 15 seconds until they have to go, wah, wah, fact check, lie, 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 lie. It's really unbelievable. And all these people on social media are like, well, people with the username like Kelly Triple Vaxxed and Masked Up for Life Smith are all saying, well, the point is, no, the point is that she's a liar. That's what she's proven throughout this, is that she is now a liar. That's the point. Whatever point you come up with in your mind to try to excuse the fact that she's lying under oath, that's on you and your Trump derangement. But that's the point. 844-500-4242. We'll take all your calls on this. It's really ridiculous. We have more sound, more lies to get through. We'll be right back with more. This is The Grace Curley Show. Who's gonna drive you home
tonight? Follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curley. This is The Grace Curley Show.
Once the president had gotten into the vehicle with Bobby, he thought that they were going up to the Capitol. And when Bobby had relayed to him, we're not, you don't have the assets to do it, it's not secure, we're going back to the West Wing. The president had a very angry response to that.
If it wasn't for the debunking of all of these things, I wouldn't play it because it is incredibly boring. But I have to make another comment here, and then we're going to go right to the calls. I see everyone wants to discuss this, maybe have a laugh. It's nice to break up. It's been a heavy news cycle recently, so this is kind of funny. But it also makes me laugh that the Secret Service agent and the driver are willing to testify. They're prepared to testify. Guess what? Guess what, Bobby Engel? Guess what? Secret Service driver, when the phone don't ring, as Howie Carr likes to say, that would be Liz Cheney asking you to come in and testify. She doesn't want to hear from you unless you are going to corroborate the ketchup story. We have no interest. Sue, you're next up on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Sue.
Hey, Grace. I love your show. You put me on the treadmill for an extra 30 minutes, so thank you for that. I just want to ask this question. First and foremost, do we have any of the Amber on the stand? I think it's okay these days just to come out and lie. And I understand why you said you weren't going to play it. But now that we do have people debunking this story, play it all you want. When I heard it, I was so upset. I was like, really? Like, oh my, this isn't good. And then you hear all the, you know, controversy, people coming back saying that didn't happen. That didn't happen. So this is, yet again, Amber Heard. And I don't even know the name of this girl that got on there. Because I was really upset when I heard it. And when I heard all the, you know, controversy coming up saying, no, 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 it didn't happen. I was thrilled.
Yeah, and you know what, Sue? Her name's Cassidy Hutchinson. And another part of this I find amazing is about the note that she claimed she had written. And this guy, Eric Hirschman, says, no, I wrote that note, and people corroborated him. And then the committee comes out and says, what's ultimately important is that both White House officials believe that press should have immediately instructed that the president should have immediately instructed his supporters to leave the Capitol building. And they say that they understand that the two might have different recollections. Two different recollections. She's saying under oath that she wrote the note, and he's saying that she didn't. Somebody's lying. You know that word? You never hear that word. If someone is delivering any bit of fake news that the media, that Liz Cheney, that Adam Kissinger, whatever his name is, that they think is going to take down Trump, it's not lying. It's two different recollections. If Trump says anything that they think is even slightly inaccurate, it's a lie. It's a lie, and he's a liar. And we have a lie count going. But this woman's talking about things that she overheard somebody say, maybe. And now everyone's coming out of the woodwork and saying, it's not true, and I'll testify. That's okay. When the phone don't ring, as I said, it's Liz Cheney asking those people to testify. We'll be right back with the rest of your calls. Don't go anywhere.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria Studio.
I was just talking to Howie during the break, and he said that something that Cassidy kept saying over and over again was when she was reciting what someone had said, she would say, they said something to the effect of, which because, you see, this is very convenient for a witness like Cassidy because you only have one side. You know, there's no cross-examination. So if you say, well, it was something to the effect of, you're not going to get another person who cross-examines you and says, can you tell us exactly what was said? No, so you can just be as vague or as specific as you like to be. These are the kind of trials I would want to be in if I had to be in a trial, is where there's only one side.
The bystander to the crime scene said they used something like a knife to attack the victim.
And we thought, that's good enough for us. Thanks.
Convict him.
You're good to go. Thank you.
See you, stabby.
Yeah, it really is insane that any of this. And by the way, a texter said he wasn't in the Beast. He was in the SUV that they sometimes take to Camp David. And I appreciate that, because facts matter. But also, I don't care if he was in a school bus. The point is, to use the wording from the committee, let me use their wording here. I'll say, what's ultimately important? How's that? What's ultimately important is he didn't lunge at anybody. He didn't try to take the steering wheel. I don't care if it was a clown car with Bozo in the back seat. There are people who will go on record saying that didn't happen. And you will never hear from them because this is a ridiculous spectacle of epic proportions. And all I think this does is showcase how desperate, how Trump deranged, and how out of touch these morons are with what's going on in this country. I saw a map today from the RNC, and the map was covered in red. And there was one tiny, tiny blue dot on the map. And it said, let me actually find, while I find this accurate map, I'm going to go to the calls because I don't want to misquote this because it was so good. Let's go to Paul. You're up first. Go ahead, Paul.
Hey, I just don't think from the backseat of a regular limo, the backseat of an SUV, the backseat of anything, lunging and grabbing a steering wheel is like physically impossible, let alone these cars, which are security. They've got security features out the wazoo to prevent people from acting nutty around the Secret Service while they're trying to protect you. You know, it's like from another generation would ask, how did Rosemary Woods do that magic stretch to delete the 18.5 minutes? How did Trump stretch from the back seat to reach the steering wheel of the car?
Yeah, no, I know. And it also, it brings to mind, this makes me think of the episode of Seinfeld where they're trying to figure out where the spit came from and Kramer's got the golf club and he's Keith Hernandez and he's trying to show that, no, it spun around and then it hit him in the neck. I mean, you're right. It suspends disbelief to think this. And all I could think about when she's talking about lunging at the steering wheel is, was Trump riding shotgun? I feel like that's not something that's done very often. Have we ever seen him ride shotgun with the Secret Service? Taylor, was he riding shotgun at any point?
No, he was in the back right, so he's diagonal from the driver. But it's also like the Seinfeld episode when Kramer took over the bus. And he's, well, I kept making all the stops.
Yeah.
George Costanza says, you're Batman. You're Batman.
He says, I was driving, and I've got the steering wheel in one hand. I'm pulling the...
I was beating the guy off with my foot and driving the bus.
We got to get that. That's actually a great, great cut from Kramer. It suspends disbelief, and it makes you think of... And if this were a Batman movie, and they were suspending disbelief, I wouldn't be a wet blanket. I wouldn't ruin everybody's good time. I wouldn't be out here saying, hey, that's physically impossible. Hey, that doesn't make any sense. Hey, that would never happen in real life. Of course not. I would let everybody have fun. I'm not here to rain on Jared's parade about the Marvel world or whatever Batman is, the
DC.
Comic. DC. Thank you. That's not my job. I let people have their fun. But in the case of this, where it's supposed to be some version of reality, I think you'll be hard-pressed to find people who can suspend their disbelief to that degree.
So, yeah, if I'm to understand this, the bed-ridden cheeseburger all day eating fatty who can't drink water or
walk
down
a ramp
is nimble enough to turn into Jason Bourne and dive for a steering wheel.
He's everything.
Through 3 feet of armor.
He's everything at all times. You know,
Donald Trump is Batman. Remember the kid asked him if he was Batman?
Yeah.
He said, yeah, I am.
Put out the bat signal because we need him right now. Benjamin, you're up next on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Benjamin.
Thanks for taking my call. I've never witnessed a group of people that melt down for one single person like Trump. It's crazy. In the stories, going from Russian collusion, if you remember, obviously, and then when he was in, in Europe, and they said he said those things about
suckers and losers
at the cemetery.
Yep.
Right. I mean, this group of people melts down at Trump. It's unbelievable. It's rewarding to me. It's so funny because it's crazy. You know, and they're trying to get people to say, oh, well, he can't run for president in 2024. I mean, it's just working against that whole narrative they're trying to play out. That's just my opinion. I mean, it's crazy.
Well, okay, so Benjamin, I have two things to add to that, and that's really good points. One of them is that Clay Travis had tweeted out something similar yesterday. He said, I've never seen anything like the Democrat obsession with Donald Trump. He broke their brains. He's been out of office for 18 months. The entire country has gone to bleep with Joe Biden in office and Democrat control of the House and the Senate, and yet it's still all Trump. It's wild. We've got 40-year high inflation. Cities are setting all-time highs for murders all over the country. Gas prices just set an all-time high. The border is wide open. Hell, moms can't even find baby formula. And Democrats see all of this going on and focus on Trump. This all seems crazy until you realize what's really going on. Being anti-Trump is the only thing that unites the Democrats. And he goes on to say other things. But the part that Benjamin just brought up, and this could actually be really fun to discuss with the callers, is that their entire goal here, beyond the fact of, you know, just trying to help Biden's approval ratings by reminding people that he's not Orange Man, he doesn't use ketchup, so maybe you should vote for him again. Beyond that, it's to exactly what that last caller just said. It's to make it so that he can't run again. Now, here's my question about that. If they make it so Donald Trump can't run again, if the Democrats do that, then you know who's going to be the next pick would be Ron DeSantis. And from what I've gathered from a lot of people, a lot of conservatives, a lot of people would be very happy if Trump passed the torch to DeSantis. I'm not saying he's going to. I'm not saying he should. I'm just saying that a lot of people, when you talk to them, say, hey, wouldn't it be great if, you know, Ron DeSantis is a little bit younger. He doesn't come with as much baggage. Trump should pass the torch. So what is the Democrat logic to saying we're going to make it so Ron DeSantis has to be the choice? Because if anything, they're kind of letting a lot of Trump voters off the hook who are now going to be able to say, oh, OK, well, it was fun, but I'll vote for Ron DeSantis. Have they not thought that part through? Probably not.
Of course they haven't.
Looking at these crazy plot lines of this committee hearing yesterday about, you know, lunging at Secret Service agents and throwing porcelain plates at the wall, maybe they haven't thought that far ahead. But that seems to me like that would be the first thought. Okay, so we're going to make it so Trump can't run. And then what? And then you're going to try to have lightning strike again and convince everyone that Ron DeSantis is the worst thing in the world? Good luck. I don't think people are going to fall for it again. People's brains can only break so many times. Tony, you're next up on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Tony.
Good afternoon, Grace. You know what? Really, we should celebrate, really, because you know what? You're seeing before your eyes the American people taking our country back, all right? Whole thing is such a sham. This whole January 6th committee, it's their last chance to get Trump, right? And the whole thing is blowing up in their face because now the Secret Service is willing to testify and say it didn't happen. Even the mainstream media, the arm of the Democratic Party, is even saying that these people can testify that this did not happen. This whole thing is blowing up in their face, Grace, and you know what? We're going to take our country back 2022 midterms. Trump's going to come back in 2024. He'll have DeSantis be his running mate, and then after, in 2028, DeSantis will take over. You are seeing the end of the Democratic Party as we know it. We should celebrate that this weekend, and that's how I feel, Grace. It's a great time for America right now. A great time. We're taking it back. We're taking it back.
And on Google, on Google Trends, I don't really know how Google Trends works, but RNC has a map of the United States of America, and it says, according to Google Trends, and now keep in mind, the entire map is red, okay? And red is where the American interest lies. So in the entire country that is covered in red, the American people are interested in talking about gasoline. Their interest is gasoline. That's their number one interest, is the price of gas. Now, there's one tiny, 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 tiny blue dot on this map. And that tiny blue dot represents people who are interested in the committee hearings about J6. Do you care to guess, if you had super, super zoom and you could zoom into this tiny dot, where that dot would be located, Jared?
Oh, it has to be Palm Beach, Florida.
No, it's D.C.
What?
Yep, D.C.
I am shocked.
The only place where people are interested in hearing about the great ketchup on the wall tragedy.
Well, the rest of the country is only red because it's covered in ketchup. So.
Yeah, those are the states that Wanda Sykes thinks need. Actually, California even cares about gas prices, so I guess that theory doesn't hold up. Bob, you're next up on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Bob.
Good afternoon. Hey, two things. First of all, I just want to let you know I stand with Norma McCorvey all the way. And the other thing is, how come the Republicans can't start their own committee on January 6th? Why do we have to let them just have that side? I don't know how a committee is formed, but who do we call and say, hey, I want you to have a January 6th committee so we can question Barbie the driver and stuff and get our side out there? Why does it work like that?
First of all, it's funny that everyone's calling him Bobby. Like, even in these committee hearings, they're just calling him Bobby. Like, Agent Engel, I would think, would be his name, but they're all just calling him Bobby.
Bobby.
But the other thing
is that
if the Republicans take over the House, then they will be able to have their own committee hearings and investigations. And they've said that this is one thing they're going to look into, because there are a lot of questions. There are just not any questions that Nancy Pelosi and Liz Cheney and all these other Democrats are interested in answering. Ed, you're next up on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Ed.
Hey, Grace, great show as always.
Thank you, sir.
Hey, you know, just the beast itself. The president is basically hermetically sealed in that thing, and I find it hard to believe that he actually could lunge forward and grab the steering wheel. I believe there is a dividing window, plexiglass, bulletproof.
All right, so I found a drawing of the beast, but the problem is that I'm not sure where they're trying to claim, what kind of vehicle they're trying to claim he was in, because I remember close to the election and after the election, Trump was in an SUV quite a bit when we would see him kind of in motorcades. But you're right, if he were in the beast, if that is the claim, then you can just look it up and they show you that there's layers and layers and layers of separation between Trump and the driver, this Secret Service agent. But I think they're trying to say he was in an SUV.
According to the transcript of Hutchinson's testimony, I looked at Tony. He said, did you hear what happened in the beast?
Oh, okay.
I said,
you're right,
no,
Ed.
Tony. I just got back what happened.
You're right, Ed.
He's still the president, January 6th. And I realize the Secret Service, those guys are great. But there are things that are discussed in the back seat of that vehicle that are of, what do you call it, security.
Highly classified.
Exactly. If he takes a call from Putin or whoever, Zanaya, or whatever, the Ukrainian president or whatever.
Zelensky.
All of that, you can't hear that. I mean, they're there to protect the president, not to overhear conversations.
Yes, yes. And there is an interesting graphic. I don't know if this is from the New York Post, because what happened was I read it somewhere and then I had to just Google it and find it separately. But they break down like all the inner compartments and, you know, where the Secret Service agent is and the kind of like the barrier. You know, when you're in a limo and there's that barrier, the one in the beast is like that, but far more secure and intense than the one you'd have like if you were in Home Alone in the backseat with a pizza. So I agree with you. Now that we know it's the beast, it's even more ludicrous. I didn't think this story could. I was trying to give her an inch here to try to help along her insane story, and even then I couldn't do it. I see everyone on the lines. We're going to come right back to this. It's 844-500-4242. It's also just the different takes from Democrats. Like now people are saying, including Norma Torres, who's a representative, she said, you know, Trump was planning this. Get this, ready? This is how long he had the intention of this insurrection. since the first day he got into office, which is crazy because at the time he was still busy colluding with Russia, right? And so this man, who, like Jared pointed out, he can't drink water, he can't do anything, he speaks at a fourth grade level, he's colluding with Russia, he's planning an insurrection that's going to be 4 years out, and at the same time we have a booming economy and low gas prices. How does that work? This man has so much on his plate, it should be, it's just truly baffling to most people. 844-500-4242. We'll be right back with more of your calls. Stay right on the line. I'm going to come right back to you. This is The Grace Curley Show.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. This is The Grace Curley Show.
I says, well, I got a little prize for you, buddy. Knocked him out cold.
How could you do that?
Yeah, then everybody is screaming because the driver, he's passed out because of all the commotion. The bus is out of control. So I grab him by the collar. I take him out of the seat. I get behind the wheel. Now I'm driving the bus.
Batman.
Yeah, I am Batman.
Oh, boy. It's also ridiculous, isn't it? Today's poll question is brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier. The three-pack is back, and it's a great value. The top three uses include getting rid of smells, allergens, and air pollutants. So get the three-pack today at EdenPureDeals.com and put in code word GRACE3. Shipping is free. Jared, what's the poll question, and what are the results thus far?
Who will get a job with the mainstream media first? Liz Cheney, Adam Kinzinger, or Cassidy Hutchinson?
I think Liz Cheney at this point. She was hugging Cassidy. She's really going all in with this performance.
Yeah, she's in the lead at 62%. 25% say Cassidy Hutchinson and 13% for Adam Kinzinger.
The strange new respect can't buy you a lot, but it can buy you a seat at CNN. John, you're next up on The Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, John.
Hey, Grace. This morning I heard something on one of the radio stations that makes you think about it, too. It's not just the Democrats are after Trump, but Republicans. It just, you got Liz Cheney, she's a Republican, but head of that committee. You've got other Republicans who don't want him. The Bushes are involved. You know, it goes right down the line. It goes with Liz Cheney's father. You know, so it makes you think a little bit, not just a Democrat.
Yeah, and you know, it does. It makes you realize how thick and deep the swamp is, because these are all swamp creatures who want Trump out. The funny thing is it's backfiring on Liz Cheney. We'll talk about that when we come back. Don't go anywhere. A lot more show today. We'll be right back.